The word of God given us today is Acts chapter 21, verses 17 through 19, page 255 of the New Testament. Page 225 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. When we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in the first letter he wrote to the Christians of Corinth, 1 Corinthians, bore witness to the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Paul compared those who are perishing to us who are being saved. The verbs used in both phrases are in present participle form, which represents current ongoing events. To those who believe they can live without Christ, the cross and the message of the cross seems like foolishness. What could be more foolish than a Messiah who came to save mankind, yet ended up executed, crucified on the cross? But if death suddenly comes upon them one day, where do they go? Without resolving their sins through the cross of Jesus Christ, can they stand before Holy God or avoid the stern judgment of God? They may appear to be alive, but they are perishing day by day. So those who denounce the message of the cross as foolishness are actually the most foolish humans in existence. But to us who are being saved, the cross is the power of God. To us who are saved, the message of the cross is not an empty theory or slogan. It is the power of God, which forever saves us from the eternal death brought by the fetters of sin and death. And Paul's testimony continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." God did not give us his only son as a sacrifice on the cross because he was foolish. He gave us his only son to pay for our sins so that his holy righteousness, which says that all sinners must die, and his love for us, through which he saves all humankind, are both carried out through the cross. This is God's wisdom, which the wisdom of humankind cannot even dare imagine. God did not allow his only son to die on the cross because he was weak. God was stronger than the Roman soldiers who whipped and nailed and crucified his only son on the cross, stronger than the Roman Empire, which sentenced death upon his only son. In other words, he was so strong, he could take responsibility for his only son's crucifixion on the cross. So he had his only son accept the death of the cross. The cross was where God's wisdom and God's strength mingled and coalesced. Paul's testimony of the cross continues in Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When death comes like a dagger flying in a moment, what need do we have for words or knowledge or worldly goods? Whatever we have, we cannot boast about it before death. So when Paul communicated the secret of God's salvation to the Christians of Corinth, he did not boast about his eloquence or his wisdom. The only thing he laid before them was Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross upon which Jesus Christ was crucified. Only through the cross could a dead soul be revived and the mystery of salvation be revealed. To the Jews, the cross was an object to avoid, a stumbling block. This was because the Jews applied to Jesus the verse, Deuteronomy 12:23, which says, "Anyone who is hung on a pole is under God's curse." To them, Jesus, who was crucified and died on the wooden cross, was clearly cursed by God. To the Greeks, who liked to debate using reason, the cross was a symbol of foolishness. According to their reasoning, a God who ought to receive sacrifice from humans could only be terribly foolish if he chose to die as a sacrifice for humans instead. But Paul resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross upon which Jesus Christ was crucified. This was a resolve to think and judge and act on everything in life from the viewpoint of the cross. This was because Paul had personally experienced that only through the cross of Jesus could a dead soul come back to life, and the mystery of salvation by which we can transcend bodily death into eternity could occur. The cross, which the Jews and Greeks regarded as a symbol of avoidance and foolishness and contradiction, was to Paul the place where God's righteousness and love, his wisdom and strength, met like the weft and warp of cloth, the final crystallization of mysterious salvation and eternal life. So in his second letter to the Christians of Corinth, Paul proclaims as follows. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. "For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him in our dealing with you. This means that even though Jesus was crucified and died on the cross in weakness, he rose again eternally through God's great power. And so we who are also weak through God's great power may stand against any trial or challenge or injustice in this world and overcome. One fact we should pay attention to here is that 1 and 2 Corinthians were both written during Paul's recently concluded third mission trip. As we have already seen in detail, Paul stayed for 3.5 years in Ephesus during his third mission trip and spread the gospel there. At the time, Paul wrote and sent his first letter to the Christians of Corinth, which is 1 Corinthians. And after leaving Ephesus to dwell in Macedonia, he wrote his second letter to the Christians of Corinth, 2 Corinthians. The main point of both letters is Jesus Christ who was crucified on the cross upon which Jesus Christ was crucified. This shows that the motive and reason for the third mission trip was Jesus Christ and his cross. And this was because without the cross of Jesus Christ, the miracle of eternal life and the power of the gospel and salvation could never have occurred. Paul, who had just finished his third mission trip, finally arrived in Jerusalem. And as we saw last time, Paul and his companions sought out the leader of the early church, James, the younger brother of Jesus. The elders of the Jerusalem church were also there. Verse 19 of the scripture today begins with Paul greeted them. The Greek verb translated into greeted them is aspazomai, which means to embrace. Paul and James were reunited for the first time in 10 years after their meeting in Acts chapter 15. Paul warmly embraced James, and they would have kissed each other's lips in greeting, according to Jewish custom. And although the scripture leaves this part out, Paul would have followed up the greeting by delivering aid offerings. The Christians of Macedonia and Corinth gathered offerings to aid the Christians of Jerusalem who were experiencing a great famine. And Paul and his companions delivered the aid offering to James. The reunion of Paul and James after 10 long years was one of warmth and welcome. Let us look at verse 19. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Paul testified in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his mission trip. Next week, we will go over in detail exactly what God did during the mission trip. In one word, what God did was the miracle of salvation for the Gentiles through the Jesus Christ who was crucified on the cross, the cross upon which Jesus Christ was crucified. Paul, who made the testimony, and James, and the elders of Jerusalem who listened to him, and all the audience there, would have felt the eternal life and mystery of salvation through the cross again. And they would have lifted up the Holy Trinity God in praise. As we learn in New Believers class, a child of humankind is always a human, and the offspring of a dog is always a dog. According to the same logic, God's only Son, Jesus Christ, was also God. The only Son of God bore the cross in order that God might become a sacrifice on the cross for the salvation of humankind. In order to pay the price of human sin, God received the sentence of death from man and was whipped and had all four limbs nailed to the cross and was humiliated at the hands of man and died. And so the precious blood of God washed away our sins and eternally saved us from death and made the mystery and miracle of the cross, which leads from the pain and suffering of death to eternal life, possible. So Paul testified, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And he proclaimed, "The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." And Paul resolved and confessed that he would live a life thinking and judging and acting on everything from the viewpoint of the cross. This is because the Holy Trinity God, who personally became a sacrifice for humankind, is the only true God and our true Savior. There is no other God who can do this except the Holy Trinity God. So Paul was testifying in detail to James and the elders of Jerusalem what this God had done to the Gentiles during his mission trip. About 5 weeks ago, a female member of our congregation sent me a picture. It was a picture of a yellow cloth doll closely hugging Jesus on the wooden cross. And the following explanation was attached below this picture. The cross is an olive wood cross bought at Siena in Italy while on a trip to Europe. The yellow doll hugging the cross is a toy our first child played with as a baby. The yellow doll's name is Rammu. It was the color of yellow daikon, or norammu in Korean, So its name became No Rammu. Rammu is hugging the cross tight. Even if Rammu had had to hang on the cross for his sins, he would not have wanted to. Even if Rammu had died on the cross, he would not have been able to save himself. So Rammu hugged tight Jesus, who is crucified here on the cross for him, the cross where he would not have wanted to die. I give thanks that Rammu's weak arms that encircle Jesus on the cross are held in embrace by God's strong arms. For a while, I could not tear my eyes away from this picture. The doll Rammu, hugging Jesus on the cross so tight, was the very person of the female congregation member who had sent me the picture. She is currently undergoing treatment for cancer. A frail woman fighting a lonely battle with cancer is embracing Jesus on the cross of Jesus. To her, Jesus on the cross is the God who sacrificed himself for her salvation. To her, the cross of Jesus is the final crystallization of mysterious salvation and eternal life, from the pain and suffering of death to eternal resurrection. And even if her arms are weak, as long as she embraces Jesus on the cross of Jesus, God's arm, which is never short, will take care of her for all eternity. Today is Holy Sunday, in which we commemorate the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Do you believe that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but God's great power to we who are being saved? Do you truly believe that the foolishness of God, who came to this earth in human form for our salvation, is greater than our wisdom? And the weakness of God, who died on the cross as a sacrifice, is stronger than human strength? If so, let us resolve to live like Paul, thinking and judging and acting in everything from the viewpoint of Jesus on the cross. And let us embrace our weak arms to Jesus on the cross of Jesus. The arm of God, which is never short, the arm that created the universe, God's arm of eternal life, which broke even death. That arm will take care of us, we who are weaker than vessels of clay, for all eternity. Let us pray. Today on Holy Sunday, thank you for allowing us to see what you have done for us on the cross. You came in human form to deliver me from the pit of sin and death. And you shed your precious blood crucified on the cross to wash my sins away. And you died on the cross and broke death and rose again so that I might walk on the path of eternal life. So to us, the cross is God's great power. So the cross is to us the place where God's righteousness and love, His wisdom and strength meet like the weft and warp of cloth, the final crystallization of mysterious salvation and eternal life. From now on, let us live like Paul, thinking and judging and acting in everything from the viewpoint of Jesus on the cross. We resolve to embrace with our weak arms Jesus on the cross of Jesus. Through the cross of God, whose arm that embraces us, the arm that is never short, let us experience in our daily lives the mysterious salvation and eternal life, from the pain and suffering of death to eternal resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.